Final hour here on 104.5 The Zone, and Lucas is upset because there's been breaking news. Titans signing running back Dontrell Hilliard to their active roster per his agent David Cantor. Hilliard elevated from the practice squad Sunday against the Titans and caught 8 passes for 47 yards, ran 7 times for 35 yards. I think the Titans have a new running back one. I think that Dontrell Hilliard is going to be that person. So that's due, or that's crediting his agent on social media, according to David's tweet, which I have in front of me. So Lucas lied to. Well, no, I guess you didn't do breaking news at the top of the hour.
No, I didn't.
You did not have the opportunity to deceive the people.
Instead, just flinging accusations around willy-nilly.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what the radio show is. We need some kind of like sound that we can play, like an audio disclaimer when I'm just going to recklessly speculate about things I have absolutely zero institutional knowledge on, which we probably do more than I should. But I feel like just to cover our butts, I feel like we need something like that. Tennessee, man, Tennessee and Vanderbilt. It's going to be interesting to see whether Vanderbilt, speaking of covering, can cover 31 points as a road dog at Neyland Stadium. And rivalry week, which I'm very much looking forward to not having to say into a microphone any longer because it scares me, is something that for Vols fans and for Vanderbilt fans, it has, I mean, everywhere, right? You've got Lane Kiffin basically saying, yeah, you know, me and Mike Leach don't hate each other. We're very respectful about this game. I don't think that you should have to hate somebody just because they went to a certain school, to which I would say to Lane Kiffin, no, of course, that's the one time that I'm comfortable with outright hating anybody. If they went to a school in my favorite college sport or in my sport of choice, if they went to a school that I vehemently hate, then yes, that gives me license to hate them. I think that's the one place where I'm comfortable with blindly hating anybody is in sports fandom. But Lane Kiffin, listening to him talk about the Egg Bowl this weekend was pretty, I mean, it lacked the juice that I wanted from Lane, because I want Lane to lean in.
I don't think I knew the toxicity, as you refer to it. I mean, I had heard about it here or there, the, you know, recruiting issue, the time with the kid and all that. But, you know, so someone said it the other day, like, we kind of don't make sense to be here, Leach and I, that we, like, get along. And so, you know, maybe we were brought here to bring a state together or something. Get you guys to get along. It is football, you know. So you really shouldn't hate people just because they went to a certain school.
So that's Lane Kiffin earlier this week talking about the Egg Bowl. I think you should be allowed to hate other people if they went to a school that you don't like. I hate Purdue fans. I detest them. This is something that me and Dennis Kelly, the former Titans right tackle, feuded about on a regular basis, so much so that in his closing statements in his notes app to Titans fans, thanking them for the time that he's been here and thanking John Robinson, Amy Adams Strunk, and Mike Vrabel for his opportunity, he felt it necessary to include a suck it buck in there because of Purdue's many victories over Indiana in the last couple of years, not just in football, but in basketball as well. I would say that as a Vols fan or a Vanderbilt fan, you are entitled to hate each other because of the way that this rivalry has been skewed in Vanderbilt's favor. And at least the last nine, five of the last nine, have gone in favor of Vanderbilt. And as a 31-point dog, I'm probably betting Vandy to cover. 615-737-1045. Ramon Foster of J. Martin Ramon, and of course, a VFL himself. He'll join us, and I'm sure he will not be slow to bring out the hate against Vanderbilt fans. Let's go to Garrett in Lebanon, who's been waiting patiently. Hello, Garrett.
How's it going, Buck?
It's going great,
first
buddy.
First time caller, long time listener. I just wanted to say earlier when you were talking about the MVP and the Titans as a market not getting looked at, I just have two comments with that. I would say the first thing is the Titans are who they are. I mean, they're not flashy. They're going to beat you down with the run game, solid defense, you know, maybe a turnover or two, but nothing flashy, nothing, you know, crazy like that. So I think that also is why part of the reason the media doesn't, I wouldn't necessarily say doesn't like us, but they don't really have anything good or bad to say about us, just because we're not one of those flashy teams that everybody gets excited about. And then the second thing I would have to say is, in most of the time during the MVP races, it's usually a quarterback, but like the past few years, you know, Drew Brees, he broke a record. Aaron Rodgers broke a record a couple of years back. Derrick Henry last year beats a record, but they still give it to Aaron Rodgers. And it just goes to show that, you know, if you're not a quarterback or somebody who's making these crazy, flashy, big time plays that the media just absolutely loves, then you're not really going to see any of that love. I just wanted to comment on that and give you my thoughts on it, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks very much for the call, Garrett. Yeah, that calls back to the MVP conversation we were having around Derrick Henry and Dontrell Hilliard, Jonathan Taylor. Sorry, I was looking at my Twitter time.
Hilliard MVP?
I mean, hey, he was averaging over five yards a carry on Sunday, baby. Apparently that kind of efficiency is all you need. I mean, I'm not going to get bent out of shape about it. It's not enough. I mean, I've already done that. I spent basically an hour getting bent out of shape about it. And since then, I have recovered, and we've come back to reality, the fact that Jonathan Taylor deserves praise for what he's doing, deserves the acclaim that he's getting. But, like, let's not take it too far, and let's not immediately thrust him into an MVP conversation that he just truly doesn't belong in, given that the precedent is that you're not going to credit the running backs for this. But apparently Carson Wentz being your quarterback is enough to skew the optics in your favor. When we come back, the big fella, Ramon Foster, VFL, hater of all things Vanderbilt and Florida, his meme game has been exceptional in the wake of the Gators firing Dan Mullen. And, of course, the host of J. Mart Ramon. Ramon Foster is going to join us coming up next, and we'll talk about what the best rivalry is in the SEC and whether he's got any concern, anyone, about playing Vanderbilt at home this weekend, given how the last couple of games have gone for these two teams. Ramon Foster on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. All right, we don't do this enough. I feel like that's an indictment of me, but I'm going to go ahead and blame Lucas for something that's probably my fault. We don't have Ramon Foster on enough. VFL, host of J. Mart Ramon, 6 to 10 a.m. He's off, though, tomorrow. It'll be Will Bowling and Kayla Anderson, because I think the big man has deserved a break for quite some time now. What's going on, Ramon?
Buck, what's going on, man? I appreciate you having me on, man, and coming on this morning, too. It was fun. Like you said, we need to do this more often.
Yeah, this is something that I'm entirely in control of, and I'm going to go ahead and blame Lucas anyway for not.
No, I won't have that.
What do you mean you won't have that? You don't have a choice. Again, that's not how the show works. It's not a democracy.
No, we're good. I was doing high school football with Ramon like a week ago, so this is on you.
Oh, okay, very good. Thank you for turning this directly back around on me. If you've noticed anything societally, though, this is the year of the autocrat, so I'm about to thrive. You better back away from the microphone. All right, Ramon, how much do you hate Vanderbilt? Just generally, how much do you hate Vanderbilt?
You know what? It used to not be a hate thing. It was one of those things when we played them, it was like, yeah, we'll go ahead and go to Nashville, or we'll beat them in Knoxville, and it was what it was. But they beat us once in 05, and, like, everybody to a T bowed, okay, never again. You know, and it became one of those things. My hate grew more after I left because, of course, they go get a coach who's super cocky in James Franklin, and they reel off a couple wins here and there. And so it grew more and more, Buck, but it just was one of those things where it was an automatic, and then it wasn't. So I began to hate them more. So now it's one of those things, if we can beat them, I want to beat them in every sport. That's basketball. And I'm going to say something that a lot of, like, Tennessee fans won't like either. But considering, you know, baseball has been Vandy's thing, and now Tennessee is kind of knocking at the door every so often, You know I'm okay with even crapping on them there, although I do love their coach Tim Corbin and what they've done. But of course, when Tennessee's good, I mean my blood is orange, Buck. Like, I can't really change that. So it's full tilt now.
I delight in that, and it's been full tilt the last basically decade. I mean, Vanderbilt has won 5 of the last 9 of these games. Now, I don't know if this Vanderbilt team is going to be able to do that given that they're averaging less than 16 points per game at this point. They're barely, I mean, they're not even 15 and a half. They're 15.3. Look at you giggling. They're 15.3 on the season. You're a 31-point favorite at home. I think that Vanderbilt can cover. I don't know. I mean, outright winning seems like a stretch.
It does. So two things right there. Number one, the spread thing. When Will came in, I did the show with Will Bowling this morning. When he came in and said, this game has a bigger spread than what University of South Alabama did, I laughed really good. Okay, I'm talking about from the depths of my soul.
Yeah.
And that was just like, well, that's Vandy. You know, it's like the number one excuse you have. Well, that's Vandy. And I don't hate the crap on them like this, but it's like, well, come on, guys. You're in the SEC. Like, we got to figure this thing out, okay? So it was that was the cool thing about, you know, this spread this weekend is it was worse than South Alabama. The other side of it, you mentioned them winning five of the last nine bucks. It's so interesting because even though, like, I was keeping tabs from a distance in Pittsburgh while I was playing, I'll never forget Coach Tomlin came in on a Saturday walkthrough and he said, hey, Mon, I'm picking against you today. I'm like, Coach Tomlin, what are you talking about? It's Vanderbilt week. And he said to me, he was like, well, you know how his coach is talking. Derek Mason hit me up and saying that he needed this game for his job and, you know, and everything else. And I was just laughing. I was like, well, I get it. And lo and behold, they found a way to beat UT. And I think he might have got an extension or a pay raise behind that, too. So it's funny to me how that game does a lot for the university if they can win it. And that was one of those weekends in which we did lose because Derek Mason needed that dub bad.
Little victories. And also, you know, given that your last couple of coaches have ended up on the New York Giants coaching staff, which delights me to no end, there was a lot of incompetency running through Rocky Top
in the
last 10 years. I know, but that's what I wanted.
If there's one way to turn me red, it's to talk about those last three coaching staffs. Okay, it was just, again, there's a standard that's got to be expected. And I know you feel the same way about Hoosiers basketball, too, to where it's like, when are we going to get back? And truth be told, now that I see where we're at with, you know, Hypo and just the small steps he's taken to trying to correct all the bad that they've done as far as having guys in the building, as far as having these college students who we say student athletes, okay, not feel like they're going to work every day and every day feels like a Monday. That's got to be one of the most disheartening things you can hear from a kid who's playing a game trying to live out his dreams is, man, I hated to go in the building because I felt like every day was going to work and it was Monday off the weekend. That's got to suck, Buck.
Oh, it seems terrible. Speaking of sucking, according to my buddy Pat Leonard in New York, the Giants have fired, literally just fired, offensive coordinator Jason Garrett right now. So Big Blue trying to save Joe Judge's job and the jobs of Derek Dooley and Jeremy Pruitt and Freddie can't get out of the kitchens. And oh, that was mean. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But you know, we talked about this morning a little bit. I honestly think Peyton and Eli kind of had a little reaction to what everybody else had on that. When the plays they were calling, and I think Peyton, he can't watch it as if he's not installed at offense. Because he was so mad whenever Daniel Jones rolled out to the short side of the field and threw a ball to nowhere.
Yes.
Peyton was like, what are they thinking? I was like, yeah, somebody's getting fired behind that one.
Oh, yeah, and there it is. There goes Jason Garrett as the leader of men offensive coordinator. You must call him Coach Garrett, though, if you're in the New York media, because I know certainly – that would not fly here in Nashville. Ramon Foster is our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. Of course, J. Martin Ramon, 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday, the fastest 4 hours in radio as it's known. How much are you enjoying the Dan Mullen saga, or lack thereof at this point?
It's good. And it's good for me because I'm not a huge Florida Gator fan, even though I played with a few in my career. And they're not bad guys away from Gainesville. But in general, I hate it this year especially because I was hoping to get them while there was blood and water in the water as far as the L's they've taken in the latter part of the season. But the other part of this is I think they may actually go through a long rebuild on this one. Well, longer than they're used to. Like, Florida might actually get uncomfortable. And he didn't help himself either as far as Mullen goes with all his comments And the number one thing you can't say in college sports is you don't care about recruiting. Because the way recruiting has changed these days with how you got to recruit kids on social media, you got to call them, you got to go to their schools, you got to talk to their handlers, you got to do everything to actually get these kids in, and he said he doesn't like it. And that's rule number one of how to get fired. On top of that, they've had top 10 classes here and there and still have no production. So I'm looking at this job in Florida and saying to myself, what, who's actually the guy for the job? Lane name might get brought up, but does he really want to do that? And I could see him potentially going to Florida, not maybe, you know, the University of Florida, maybe Miami. But they may actually have a little bit of a down couple of years in our future, Buck. And I'm pleasantly okay with that all the way.
I'm laughing because I just saw my buddy Austin Stanley's tweet about the coaching firing season being upon us in the entire state of Tennessee for what feels like the first time in forever is just watching from the sidelines. That's got to feel pretty good. Ramon Foster, our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. So, I mean, do you prefer the method that Florida has taken? Because they have had as many struggles as Tennessee has getting the head coaching position right. But they ripped the Band-Aid off, Ramon, in a way that I don't think lets this thing that could fester any longer than need be, where you're looking at Butch Jones lasting entirely too long, and Jeremy Pruitt, whether the McDonald's bag controversy was manufactured or not to get out of a buyout, there's something there that they saw at the end of the season and realized they had let this thing go on too long there as well. And I don't have to relitigate the Derek Dooley situation at great length. I feel like Florida takes the right approach to this.
They do. And what's so wild about it is the fact that, you know, it's going to be a lot of money thrown around too. I read what his buyout was as far as Mullen goes. It's $6 million in the first 30 days. I don't know about you, Buck, but that doesn't sound like somebody got fired.
Yeah.
You give me $6 million in 30 days, I'm taking it all day long. And the other part, he'll be paid $1 million for the next 6 years in July. You want to talk about a walk-away gift. But, again, if you knew it wasn't going to work, it seemed like the kids were changing their social media accounts to where they weren't at Florida anymore. His quarterbacks hadn't shown much development as if he needed it. And, again, he's in the melting pot of one of the best recruiting spots in America and has yet to actually win big there. So he kind of did it to himself, and Florida just won't stand for it, and good on them for actually getting ahead of it. It's just that looking at what's going to come out there as far as coaches, I don't know if they're going to be able to actually find a guy as far as, you know, try to get them on the right path. And like I said, it's good when Florida's good in the SEC, but I can't wait to actually see them be down and be bad. So I won't cry about it, Buck, if that's what we're getting to next.
Look at this sadist here with us, Ramon Foster. Just noted Gator hater, delights me. If Josh Heupel gets 7 wins, which it is assumed that will happen, outside of catastrophe, does he deserve SEC Coach of the Year?
That's kind of tough to say because I think he deserves, you know what I'm saying, if they were ever thinking that, I've heard people say that he's a setup coach for the next coach. And I'm looking at this now and just saying, well, I don't necessarily know about this, especially if his recruiting picks up. That's going to be the biggest part for him is having his recruiting pick up. And he kind of, you know, tapped on that door yesterday with the 4-star that he got to commit. If he keeps a good staff around him, I mean, and Rodney Garner, Tim Banks is looking like a guy that's going to be considered as a head coach sooner or later at some point with the job that he's done with his defense. Coach Martinez, also Coach Ellaby, is looking – good for him. So if he's able to continue this and have these kids compete, I think he's going to be the guy for the long haul. I think he's exceeded my expectation of what he was going to be able to bring to the SEC. There was no way in this world, Buck, I would have thought an offense like this would work in the SEC as efficient as it has. So I'm on board more than I was in the spring too. And I got to shamefully admit that I was very unsure on how this was going to work. And depending on what quarterback stays, if Hendon does, or if this 4-star out of Indianapolis comes to play also and he does well, UT could be good. But Coach of the Year, not yet. It's got to go to Kirby. Kirby Smart at Georgia. He's got an insane amount of talent. and he's maximized it to the ability that I don't know if anybody's ever done it since Nick Saban has recently.
I'm glad you brought up – I'm glad you – and that's the right answer, by the way, and also one of these people who is talking about – was talking about at the start of the season is Josh Heupel's a bridge coach. That was me, so we can name names here if you would like to publicly embarrass me on my own platform. But since you brought up Hendon Hooker, there is discussions around NFL people that I trust, Ramon, that this guy in a bad quarterback draft class can do as well for himself in the NFL draft process this season, this coming off season, as he could even if he came back in this system. And I'm looking at both him and Cedric Tillman, and I just, at least for the receiver, I think that he's better off coming back. I would be curious if you were to have a moment with these two and counsel them on what they should do for their future, understanding that you've been in the league and you understand how the talent evaluation process works or doesn't work when somebody like you goes undrafted.
Yeah.
What would you counsel these guys to do?
Now it's a different world, though, too, now, Buck, because this is the thing. It used to be strike while you're hot because that money won't be there.
Right.
Now looking at what Hendon's got in front of him with NILs and just all these players, they're getting them out of just anywhere, and I love it. So I'll say if he has the ability to capitalize on money, whether in Knoxville or back home where he's from, then he should stay. And, again, it is the idea of strike while you're hot. But 1 year for a quarterback that's, you know, they'll question, well, is it the system or is it him? I'd say go back, raise his stock even higher. Let's say he's a fourth rounder now. He might end up being a second or third, you know, next year. I'd like him to stay one more, but if he's in a position to where he has to, you know, let's say provide for his family, which I don't think that's his situation, then I'd say go. I'm of the mindset one more year just to solidify himself as being the guy. Now, the opposite side of this, though, Buck, is he can overexpose himself. Let's say that it doesn't work for him or he comes out and has an early start the way Joe Milton did. Then he's knocked. And then he's got this four-star quarterback who probably can learn this system because all high school teams now pretty much are in the shotgun. They run college offenses. That's the connecting dots between what these quarterbacks are able to do these days is the fact that the high school offenses are being run in college.
Well, yeah, because you got guys coming, you know, from the pros coming into high school programs. We just had Trent Dilfer on last week, and he's running it like a college or a professional football program. Like, this is real deal stuff.
It is, but I say stay, and I say the NILs can work in his favor. This offense can continue to work in his favor, and he'll just be better, I think.
I'm going to read you a quote. Ramon Foster is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking about rivalry week and the Vols, but I'm going to read you a quote from Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach at Missouri. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, let me hear it.
He was on 1010 XL. It's a radio station in Jacksonville. And he was explaining the irony of beating Florida and Dan Mullen after they almost fought, the two of them, last year.
Yeah.
Quote, "My father was a farmer, and there's an old saying, you reap what you sow. If you sow kindness, you reap kindness. If you sow jackass, you reap jackass." That is from the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, who is now urinating on the grave of Dan Mullen's professional career.
But you know what I say to Drinkwitz? Good. It's the same thing. You know why, Buck? Because that's the spirit of competition. Like, I hate that it's gotten a little bit softer because this is my motto, and this is going to sound crazy to anybody listening, but, Buck, you know how sports work. You know that this is – if you can get somebody, you get them.
Yes.
Because the moment they got a one-up on you, they're going to do it. And that's what Drinkwitz is doing. He didn't forget that whole outfit that he had on last year, the Star Wars, and he came prepared for war this past week, and he beat him, and he's the reason he got fired. I'll tell anybody, Buck, you know me. I like to think I'm a chill dude at times, okay? But when it comes to competition, if it's a game between me and you, I'm stepping on your neck to get what I want. And I tell my kids that. You feel me? Like, we're homies, but if, Buck, you line up on the other side, you got to get it, or you're going to get me.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, so, yeah, I like what he did. Drop him on him. Absolutely.
That's exactly what everybody else is doing to Dan Mullen right now. All right, so speaking of stepping on people's necks, I'm going to step on your show's neck really quick. I heard Lucas, I haven't heard this promo yet for What Your Radio Show. Now, I know you have no part in this because you're going on vacation, well-deserved, but I heard a promo, or Lucas heard a promo that's running in the system that apparently he wants me to publicly mock with you on the line. Run it, Lucas.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Coming up tomorrow morning.
Hey, it's Will Bowling. Coming up Wednesday morning, Kayla Anderson of WKRN News 2 joins me as we get you ready for your Thanksgiving weekend. Plus, Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio stops by, and the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, previews Titans Patriots. And you better believe we'll be talking about Thanksgiving side dishes, my sweet potato casserole, the best. We'll hear yours as well.
We gotta have fun on here.
Jay Martin Ramon from 6 to 10 a.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
Why did Will Bowling try to make Thanksgiving side dishes serious sports analysis, and why is that the worst thing I've ever heard in my life?
That's because Will still goes to a restaurant and order chicken tenders and fries. That's why.
Yes!
Kid, we're at a roof Chris right now. You want chicken tenders and fries? Okay, all right, here's your bib.
I didn't have to step on their necks. Ramon did it for me.
Oh, see, Buck, I told you, I like to think I'm a nice guy, but you put that battery in my back right there, so I took off.
I love it. I love it. J. Martin Ramon, 6 to 10 a.m. The big man's on vacation, but Will Bowling and Kayla Anderson will do a fine job. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, you and your family, Ramon, and thank you for stopping by the show. It's always a good time.
No doubt, Buck. And Will's my guy. He's a good kid. And Kayla will be fine, too. She'll carry the show, and Will will just be there. So it's all good.
Goodbye, Ramon.
See you, Buck.
Oh, it makes me so happy. We have to light Will Bowling on. I love that Will Bowling is the person that we're taught. We didn't even mean it. I didn't know that anybody else was doing Thanksgiving side dish analysis as content. But, you know, it's just a clear. Here's my thing for Will, right? You got one shot, and maybe not one shot, because Jason's been out for a couple weeks. I know he's feeling kind of crappy.
Will fills in all the time.
Does he?
I mean, whether it's here or your show.
Why
or
aren't Blaine you doing Mickey? More of this?
Because I'm here with you.
So this is me holding you down?
Yeah, you want me to come in and do 4 hours of morning radio and then have to come in here and run the show for you?
I'm the ball. Yeah, I mean, if you want my chair, hell yes, you better do that. You're damn right you better do that. So what I'm hearing is, in the spirit of competition, when me and Ramon Foster, close friends, I would add, are talking about stepping on each other's necks, you're bowing out to side dish Will Bowling? That's what you're telling me.
I'm not bowing out to anybody. This had to be done. Schaefer left the promo up, and we've been ripping side dish conversations all morning.
It sounds like a cop-out. Let's go to David in Nashville before we do some polls and wrap up this Tuesday show. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing there?
We're great.
Got to turn my radio down.
Oh, I love you for that. Thank you, David.
Oh, okay. Hey, no, I just wanted to make an observation about the balls, man. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really brought up. I watched the Georgia game, Tennessee and Georgia, and I noticed that Javonte Payton wasn't there. And a few of the long passes that Hendon Hooker had thrown were just off the fingertips of the other receivers, and I thought to myself, if he was there, that would have been a catch. And I looked last week, they didn't have any long balls thrown, and I think it's direct sequence that since Payton's not there, it's kind of shortened their offensive output.
Let me point this out to you. I would say that they were still attempting deep passes. They just, I do agree with you though, that they're not completing those same attempts. I think that's probably a better way to put that observation. Yes.
Yes, it is. And that's what I had thought about, you know, and I just want to say hello to Ramon. I met him at Drake's Creek Park and, he had on a UT outfit, and I was in UT. You know, I'm a ball from life from the 70s. My nephew is Dante Jones, formerly of Mississippi State, and he wasn't the best basketball player in the family. I just want to say that.
I like it, David. Give him the smoke.
But I listen to y'all all the time when I can. I'm on vacation. I usually listen in the evenings, but when I can catch y'all, I try to listen. Man, y'all do a really good job on the radio show, and y'all keep it up.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the kind words, and enjoy some time away, David. Polls next. Oh, goodness. That one went fast today. That was a lot of fun. I'm going to head out to Titans practice here in just a second. Also, I don't know that we talked about this earlier, but the Texans cut Philip Lindsay earlier today. That was according to Aaron Wilson, who works for Sports Talk 790 in Houston, who I know Titans fans have familiarity with, speaking of words that we cannot say before we get to the poll questions. So Dontrell Hilliard is on the active roster, according to his agent. And Philip Lindsay is out there. I'd take a crack at him on the practice squad if you can find ways to get him in there. He hasn't been what he was. He was a great story that season for the Broncos as a hometown undrafted rookie free agent. I think he had a decent second season, and then there wasn't enough juice there. But I do think that he can give you some things, and that's, I think, certainly an option to explore. I mean, he was a back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher. He made a Pro Bowl, Philip Lindsay. But that's why people kind of circulate around this narrative of running backs being disposable because of stories like Philip Lindsay. There's a lot more of them that exist than, you know, Derrick Henry's of the world. There's a big sporting event at Nissan Stadium tonight. Nashville SC is hosting Orlando City in the first round of the MLS playoffs that begin tonight. And Lucas told me as we were coming back from commercial break that he demanded that I give him 1 minute to talk about Nashville SC. So here is your minute. I have a clock in front of me. It starts right now.
Yeah, because Nashville could reasonably get, or has a shot to get, its first pro title in a Nashville franchise this season with Nashville SC. This team's going to be a tough out in the postseason. They have not lost in Nissan Stadium all season, hosting Orlando tonight. Three matches against Orlando City SC, three draws. The good news is you can't draw tonight.
Oh, thank God.
If it's tied after 90, it goes to extra time. If it's tied after 120 minutes, it goes into penalty kicks. And this club has never been in a penalty shootout in its young existence in MLS, so that could be interesting. But Nashville SC tonight, 7 o'clock kick. I mean, they've had a couple weeks off to prepare. The international break has basically been a bye week for everybody as Walker Zimmerman went on to play for the U.S. men's national team and Alistair Johnston for Canada, Anibal Godoy for Panama. They're all back. Win or go home. And I'm telling you, this team has a shot to make a run. Eastern Conference semifinals last week, they got a shot to get back to that spot and further this week.
And time. Oh, my God. He did it on the second. That was excellent work by you. That was the Panzeca Nashville SC minute. Not unlike the Panzeca Preds minute that I'm sure will make a reappearance at some point once football season is gone from our lives. All right, polls.
Oh, Nelly, this is Keith Jackson talking about college football. It's time to stop the count. The polls have closed and the granddaddy of them all has been tallied with your poll update. Oh, Nelly, talking about Buck Rising show producer and daily correspondent, Lucas Panzeca.
Is it okay to hate somebody because they went to it because of the school they went to in college football? 78% say yes, 22% say yes.
Yes is the only right answer. That is the only grounds for blindly hating another individual in society today. It's not political affiliation. It's not religion, race, sex, creed. It is only where that other individual went to college. And whether or not your college team is a rival of their college team. That is the grounds to hate implicitly in society.
Speaking of hate, which college football rivalry has the most pure hatred? The Iron Bowl, the Egg Bowl, Ohio State, Michigan, or other? Now, 47% say it's Ohio State, Michigan. 36% went with the Iron Bowl. Only 13% went with the Egg Bowl, which is my pick, and by a pretty decently large margin. Looking around, Lebowski says it is the Iron Bowl, but the 2019 Egg Bowl had the Elijah Moore dog pee butterfly effect, which resulted in Lane Kiffin to the SEC. The Elijah Moore dog pee celebration got both coaches fired in that game.
It was so good.
And is one of the many reasons why the Egg Bowl, I think, has the most pure hatred in college football and arguably in all of American sports.
I think that, and when you talk to people who went to Ole Miss, now I have more Ole Miss, I don't think I know a Mississippi State fan. I know we have Lonzo in the YouTube chat. That's the only Mississippi State.
I know many.
Do you?
Yes, growing up in Birmingham, many people went to Mississippi State. Some people I went to college with grew up State fans.
Birmingham to Starkville, Mississippi.
Yeah, apparently that's a thing.
You know, you're going to see the world. You're going to go to Starkville.
Go from Alabama to Mississippi.
People in Oxford hate Mississippi State. People in Starkville hate Ole Miss. It's something that is bred deep in them in a way that's clear and obvious to everybody. So I was kind of disappointed to see Lane Kiffin be super diplomatic about the whole thing and take away what I love about sports the most, which is the hatred between sports teams and sports fans.
Because him and Mike Leach genuinely like each other.
No, they get along. But they're a great odd couple.
That is a rivalry with hate and disrespect. They don't respect each other one iota as far as the fan bases. Is it just going to end up being a Chiefs and Bucks Super Bowl? 72% do not think so.
72% of you are incorrect. It's inevitable.
Oh, now you're doing predictions.
Yeah, that I'll predict. That, you know what? I'm going to get on the mountaintop and say no. I refuse. I will not become the thing that I hate.
Well, the funny thing about that is in the next poll, we didn't even include the Chiefs in this. Who's the biggest threat to the Titans in the AFC this week?
So, all right, no, that's on you, all right?
We didn't even mention the Chiefs.
I for sure said the Chiefs.
No, you did not. For 75% said the Patriots. 10% said the Ravens, who are one game back of the Titans. 12% said the Colts. 3% said the Chargers.
Do not lump me in with your incompetency.
No, we were between Colts and Bills for that last spot. What is one word you just can't say? I'm going to be careful here. Ron Lebowski says famine, cuz.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Slay says quit.
Yeah. Ron Slay, the one word that he can't say being quit, because Ron Slay is so high effort, so high energy. He does not know the word quit. It is not in his lexicon. It is not in his Merriam-Webster dictionary at home. The one word that you will not hear Ron Slay say is quit. They're live at a Buffalo Wild Wings. Which Buffalo Wild Wings do we know?
Hendersonville.
Hendersonville, Buffalo Wild Wings, 3HL, today from 3 to 6.
Mike Wilson says Lucas. Christopher Martell says moist, which I know many people don't enjoy hearing. Puka says variety.
Yeah, for me, it's rivalry. I hate this week every year because of how hard it is for me to say rivalry week.
Oh, this is a good one. Joseph says Worcestershire. Worcestershire.
Worcestershire?
Like the condiment?
Yeah, I know what it is. I also can't say it. I don't think anybody can accurately say that except for the person that it's named for. And his memory will forever be disrespected by the fact that, one, he's a condiment, and two, people can't say it.
Yeah, screw that guy.
That's how we end the show, I suppose. One more time tomorrow before we get out of here for the Thanksgiving holiday. Blaine and Mickey, they're next.